Hello, my name is Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. You may be listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries on the internet. We're going to pray that God will move in mighty and awesome ways. Now, let's get into the rest.
Things on PowerPoint I want to share with you for the lesson tonight. Again, we are in a year with God. This year has been designated a year with God, and this year we'll be using the book of the same name, it's a picture of it, The Year with God by Richard Foster, to walk us through this year of devotion with God. And it's going to help us Christians to focus on the basic disciplines of the Christian walk. This is helping us to get back to the basics. You know, when you go into the army, they put you through what?
Basic training.
And this year, we're going to be going through basic training. This month, we're going to be going through a series entitled How to Listen to God. It's designated Meditation Month. I just really love this definition by Richard Foster of meditation. It says, Christian meditation, very simply, is the ability to hear God's voice and obey His word. To hear God's voice. Two parts of that. To hear and to do. And that's what meditation is all about. It's meditating on the word of God to the point that you obey His word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And here's telling us about the reading assignments in a year with God. The chapters that deals with meditation in this year with God is day 166 through day 185. So we want you to read there so you can get as much as you can with meditation. And that's for you level 3. Those who are on level 3. And if you're on level 4, we want you to read out of the other book, pages 15 through 32, where it deals with the discipline of meditation, and that's level 4. Level 1 is everybody is who's here. Is it level 1? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for being here tonight. Level 2 is you've read the chapter. Before you came tonight, I can't tell who's on level 2. But again, level 3 is reading from a year with God. Level 4 is reading from celebrations of discipline. Let's go on to the next slide. Again,
Live it out.
We want to live out the word of God tonight. Let's go forward. And again, this is Meditation Month. Our scripture we're going to be standing on is Joshua chapter 1, verses 8. Meditate on it all day so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Amen?
Amen.
Tonight, we're going to learn how to conquer the hindrances to meditation. How to conquer the hindrances to meditation. We're going to be looking at Job chapter 15, verses 1 through 6 in the Revised Standard Version. Let's read this out loud together at the same time. All three. One, two, three.
Eliphaz, 6, Job undermines religion, then Eliphaz the Temanite answers, should the wise answer with windy knowledge and fill themselves with the east wind? Should they offer an unprofitable talk or in words with which they can do no good? But you are doing away with the fear of God and hindering the meditation before God. For your iniquity teaches your mouth, and you choose the tongue of the crafty. Your own mouth condemns you, and not I. Your own lips testify against you.
Amen. Again, we're talking about conquering hindrances to meditation. And meditation is hearing the Word of God and obeying the Word of God. But James challenges us to be doers of the Word and not just hearers.
Right.
And if we want to conquer the hindrances to meditation, we're going to have to get some new things going in this new year. First of all, we're going to have to get some new teaching.
Right.
And then we're going to have to get some new talking. And then we're going to have to get a new tongue. If we want to conquer the hindrances of meditation, we want Christians to know tonight that you should overcome the hindrances to meditation.
All right.
Amen. Let's look at point number one. New teaching. Says here in the text, for your iniquities teaches your mouth. Your iniquities teaches your mouth. I had a friend who was supposed to be a Christian. And he would spend most of his hours away from work calling all of his spiritual Christian friends and talking about all of his troubles. All of his troubles. And I couldn't help but to wonder that maybe if he would spend most of that time talking to God.
Well,
maybe he wouldn't have so many troubles.
Well.
If he spent most of that time talking to God, maybe he would get to a point to where he may have the same problems, but he just wouldn't care because God manifests peace and joy and hope in his heart that it really wouldn't matter.
There you go.
All right. And that's why the Bible tells us that we have to meditate on his word day and night as opposed to talking to other people, because we have to remember what God said, and also we got to remember what God wants us to do as a result of what he said.
Well,
what he said. And many times the hindrance is the hindrance to meditation. To do with what's in our own heart. It says here, new teaching, new teaching. It says, for your iniquities teaches your mouth. Your iniquity teaches your mouth, which is directly opposite of what we learned about Sunday, where Job 1:8 says, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. See, God wants us to meditate on his word, to listen to what he said, because he wants to do what he says. But many times we spend time in our iniquities, and when we spend time in our iniquities teaches us how to talk. Our iniquities teaches us how to talk. When we're angry and mad at somebody, our iniquities teaches us how to curse somebody out. As opposed to blessing those who curse you.
Well.
You see, that's meditation. When you're meditating on the word of God, you hear what he says and you do what he says, but if you're meditating on your own iniquities, then you're going to do what your iniquities tells you to do. What your iniquities teaches you to do. And again, we heard Sunday that the devil is very cunning. The devil knows the truth, and he knows how to give us half the truth to the point that we would buy in it and allow our iniquities abilities to lead us astray.
Well.
See, many times people wonder, why is it that God puts us or leads us into temptation? But the Bible has to tell us that God can't tempt us. You see, and the only thing that really tempts us is our own iniquities, what we really want to do. And we see what we really want to do, and we find the bait, like a fish with a hook, and we're caught up. The Bible says here that for your iniquities teaches your mouth. Iniquities teaches your mouth. Look, your iniquities are not supposed to teach your mouth. The Word of God is supposed to teach your mouth. That's why God says to meditate on it day and night so that you will be careful to do everything written in it. So that you would be careful to do everything that is written in it.
Amen.
So if we want to overcome this hindrance to meditation, we've got to get some new teaching. And we have to obey the Word fully. Not halfway. That's what I'm saying. That's called a lukewarm Christian. When you know it's something halfway, that's lukewarm. And God hates lukewarm. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold or what? Spill you out of the same crowd. So, it's not just new teaching, it's just doing everything that God tells you to. Everything. Without question, without a doubt, you don't have to understand it. You meditate on it day and night, and you do it. You to understand, because sometimes you read a text and you have to stop and meditation puts you in a slower mode.
Amen.
And sometimes you have to stop in the middle of the text and say, Lord, okay, now what does this truly mean? Or what does it mean to me? Or what is it you want me to do as a result of reading this word? What is it you want me to do? Think Foster mentioned that, you know, in the meditation time during this week, to stop and say, what is it that this word wants me to do? New teaching. Don't let the iniquities of your mouth teach you. Only allow the Word of God to teach you and meditate on it day and night so that you'll be careful to do everything written in it. Man, from Sunday we learn, and that's how we can be prosperous and successful. And many of us want to be prosperous and successful. And this is the way that you become prosperous and successful. So we have to get some new teaching, and then we have to get what?
Some new
talking.
Yeah, all right. It
says, and you chose the tongue of the craft. You chose the tongue of the craft. Many times our talk tells us where we really are, where we are. If we see what we're talking the most about, that's what we love the most. People in the world, you hear them talk, and a lot of times they're just talking about money. A lot of times, men, they talk about women, money, women, power. Trying to be influential, or trying to be perceived as being influential. Posting. Your talk tells you really where you are with the Lord. a person that meditates on the Word of God will probably be talking about God all the time.
Right.
You don't have to tell them people to witness for the Lord. Another thing you don't have to tell them. You don't have to tell them the 1, 2, 3s and the ABCs of evangelism.
Well.
Because all they'll simply do is talk about the goodness of the Lord.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And they just come out. You don't have to train them to do it. They're so full of the Lord that it just automatically comes out. The person in this text, really, who they were trying to accuse Job of being, to which he was vindicated later,
right.
Friend.
Right.
Listen to what he said. You choose the tongue of practice. We know what James says about the tongue. And James 8, 5, and 6 says, or take the ship as an example, although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are stirred by a very little rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a little part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great flame or fire is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil amongst the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell.
Ooh.
Oh, that's deep, isn't it? Let's talk about our tongue. You choose the tongue of crackiness. There's some folk in our church need, or really all of us, need to tame our tongues.
Amen.
Amen. Alright. Need to tame our talk. Because every time you speak, fires are starting within our church. And it sets our church aflame because you have learned to tame your talk. You've got to get some new talk. You have to start choosing the tongue of craftiness and choose the tongue of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Choose the tongue of the Word of God. The old folk used to simply say, if you can't say something good, then don't say nothing at all. Because our tongues, the devil uses to cause the flame. Our tongues, the devil uses to cause trouble and dissension, backbiting and talking about whatever. Is a hindrance to meditation.
Alright.
You're too busy talking mess to where you're not meditating and focusing on the Word of God. You're too busy talking to other folk to where you see the Word will tell you what to do.
Well, tell you what to do.
Yeah. Now we've got to get talk this year. Say your name
to
neighbor. Come on, neighbor. We've got to get a new talk.
Yeah, come on.
As it's interfering with my relationship with God. It's interfering with my meditation on God. Every time I hear you say something. And again, Sunday we said that the devil will tell you the truth. I said, I'm going to stop listening to the devil even when he's telling me the truth. He knows how to tell the truth. He can have like the faults in everybody up in here and have you thinking about it. Tell him the truth. Hello? The one thing he won't tell you is that person's been saved.
Alright.
Hello? Going to a place where he can never go.
listening to the devil and stop talking the devil's talk.
Well,
hello? And again, it's crafty. It sounds spiritual. Have you ever heard somebody talk about you and put you down at the same time? Say, wait a minute. We call it a backhanded compliment. Wait a minute. That's what the devil, he works. He's crafty. It sounds like it's something spiritual. And there'll be a backhand to it. Well, and the fruit of it. It's not fruit, but fire. It's not peace, but fighting. Hello? So we're going to talk of this generous meditation we have to have. New teaching, you have to have new talking. Then we have to get a new tongue. And it says here that your own lips testify against you. Your own lips testify against you. We have this new commercial about this phone. This person who sets the phone away and their mouth is still talking. They're talking away. You ever seen that? It's talking now. The tongue, your whole tongue testifies against you. Your own lips are testifying against you. James 1:26 says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself. And his religion is worthless. Ooh-wee. That's deep, isn't it? Wow. So we have to get a new tongue. A new tongue. Sometimes we just gotta learn to just be quiet.
Well,
if you don't agree with something, be quiet. Pray about it. Just pray about it. God can fight his own battles. If you think we're going in the wrong direction, don't complain about it. Pray about it. Don't talk to your husband and your wife about it. Pray about it. You don't want to be guilty of your own lips testifying against you. Can you imagine? You're in a court of law. You've been accused, and we have a witness, and we're going to call to the stand. Cassie Town City on the stand, and then all of a sudden I see my lips come up. Wait a minute. And ooh, these lips have a tail to tail. And most of the time, it won't be a lie. Your own lips testify against you. That candid meditation. If any man considers himself religious, yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he's deceived himself, and his religion is worthless. Man, that is deep. So actually, we probably need to be saying less and listening more. Guess what that is? Even with our relationship with God. That's the reason I said there's a difference between meditation and prayer. Prayer is talking to God. Meditation is listening to God. And that's been our problem. We've been talking to God and we haven't been listening. That's the reason that he gave us one mouth and two ears. We should be listening twice as much. and conflict resolution all, not only in the church, but all throughout the world, if we could only listen more and talk less. Revolutionize our church, revolutionize our marriages. Because many times in a marriage, especially when you're upset with one another, you both want to talk. I'll scream one another. Elevate. Ain't nobody listening. What do you accomplish? You don't accomplish anything because nobody's listening. Everybody wants to be heard. God says, this year I want to be heard. I want you to meditate. I want you to listen. I want you to listen to me right now. I want you to meditate on this word. What does this word mean to you? Run it over in your mind. Why would I use such extreme terms to say that if anyone considers himself religious but yet not keep a tight rein on his tongue, why must I keep a tight rein on my tongue? Why would you say that deceived and then my religion is worthless? That's something to be meditated upon. When you meditate on that word, he may bring back some of the things that you've said that you shouldn't have said with that little tongue that causes so much problems. Instead of meditating on the word, you're meditating on the things that you said. You thought you were right. So the Bible said, you deceived yourself. You thought you were right. God saying that tonight. No, you were not right. The words that came out of your mouth was worthless. Didn't accomplish anything. Song says you talk too much, you never shut up. This next year, God wants us to have a new job. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. God's going to speak through my lips. The only way that happens is you're meditating on his word. Hang on his word. So when people ask you advice, you don't give your own opinion, you give the word. This is what God says the way it should go. Not my own opinion. Don't you know you can have opinions that's different from the word of God?
Yeah.
I don't think nobody want to know, or she want to know my opinion. If she want to succeed and have prosperity, you should want to know God's opinion in the matter.
Yeah.
And you should want to meditate on it and do it so that you can be blessed. There's a blessing in obedience.
Yeah.
Say it to your neighbor, neighbor. Neighbor. There's a blessing in obedience.
Yes.
You know, God doesn't have any favorites, but yet there are some Christian folk that are more blessed than others, not because they God plays favorite, but because there are some who actually do apply the word of God in every element of their life. They don't just let him in the living room and keep him out the bedroom. They let him anywhere in the kitchen. God decides what I eat. That's a whole subject. That mess you up, you let her in the kitchen. What did he say? Then you'll develop a new tongue. You'll be in that kitchen speaking in tongues, talking about this song. Hello? I better walk on out the kitchen. Let's go to the living room. talk about your leisure time. What is it that you're watching on TV?
Really?
Do your lips testify against you in the living room? Hello? What is your leisure? Many times, even if we're looking at something that's not too corrupt, many times we just spend too much time looking at that TV.
True.
As opposed to meditating on the Word of God.
Right.
Hello? Studying the Word of God. Prayer. Some churches that have go through a TV fast. Instead of looking at TV, they decide to pray. Most of us, if we decide to do that, we would have at least 3 hours of prayer a night. At least, that's if we get home at 7 o'clock. Go to bed at 10. Think about it. Of our lives, you know, even behind the wheel, what does our tongue testify against us? Are we going to speed limit? Who said preacher now? The Word of God don't say that you need to drive 55. The Word of God do say something about obeying
the laws of the land.
You know it. Let's get your lips up here to testify. How fast you drive. It's about meditating every day.
Ouch.
Not be a guy, I bless you, brother, bless you right now. Because you always be looking for the truth, was everywhere. Sure do seem I'll be watching that speed. I said, sure do seem like you get here faster than I would. It's meditating on the ways and bringing hotel my issues. That's meditating on the word. It affects everything that you do, everything that you say. Everything that you do and everything that you say affects the clothes that you wear. It affects everything. But you have to be in it to meditate on it, to know it. But a lot of times our problem is that we don't know it. It's just we just don't do it. We just don't know it. And we don't realize that it's affecting our meditation with God, our relationship with God. We think we're right in one area, we cut off in a whole other area. And it affects our relationship with Him. It affects our relationship with Him. But if we want to conquer the hindrances of meditation, we have to say this night that, Lord, I'm going to be truly committed to you. I'm going to do everything that your word says to. I'm going to truly meditate. I'm going to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. I'm not going to allow my flesh to teach me any different. I'm not going to allow my talk to teach me any different. I'm not going to allow my tongue to teach me any different. I'm going to meditate and reflect upon the word of God and who you are. I'm going
to develop a closer and personal relationship with you throughout 2010 to going to apply all of these different disciplines that we will study, and I'm going to study to show myself approved of God, a workman who need not be ashamed.
Right and divided in the word,
not just to teach others, but to right and divide it in my life and to live that I may be a good example to others.
Yes.
Shall we pray?
You did.
Amen. We want to thank you for being in the household of the Lord tonight as we are continuing in our studies for this new year. And we are challenged with this year with God to live it out. And that's what the month of meditation is all about, is that we are meditating to the point that we actually live it out. I have some things on the top I want to share with you for the lesson tonight. Again, we are in a year with God. This year has been designated the year with God, and this year we'll be using the book of the same name. It's a picture of it, The Year with God by Richard Foster, to walk us through this year of devotion with God. And it's going to help us Christians to focus on the basic disciplines of the Christian walk. This is helping us to get back to the basics. You know, when you go into the army, they put you through what?
Basic training.
And this year we're going to be going through basic training. This month we're going to be going through a series entitled How to Listen to God. It's designated Meditation Month. And I just really love this definition by Richard Foster of meditation. It says Christian meditation, very simply, is the ability to hear God's voice and obey His word. To hear God's voice. Two parts of that. To hear and to do. And that's what meditation is all about. It's meditating on the Word of God to the point that you obey His Word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And here's telling us about reading assignments in a year with God. The chapters that deals with meditation in this year with God is day 166 through day 185. So we want you to read there so you can get as much as you can with meditation. And that's for you level 3, those who are on level 3. And if you're on level 4, we want you to read out of the other book, pages 15 through 32. Well, it deals with the discipline of meditation, and that's level 4. Level 1 is everybody who's here is at level 1. Amen. Well, thank you for being here tonight. Level 2 is you've read the chapter before you came tonight. I can't tell who's on level 2. But again, level 3 is reading from the Year with God. Level 4 is reading from Celebrations of Discipline. Let's go on to the next slide. Again,
live it out.
We want to live out the Word of God tonight. Let's go forward. And again, this is Meditation Month. Our scripture we're going to be standing on is Joshua chapter 1, verses 8. Meditate on it all day, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Amen?
Amen.
Tonight, we're going to learn how to conquer the hindrances to meditation. How to conquer the hindrances to meditation. We're going to be looking at Job chapter 15, verses 1 through 6 in the Revised Standard Version. Let's read this out loud together at the same time. All three. 1, 2, 3.
Eliphaz, 6. Job undermines religion. Then Eliphaz, the Temanite, answers. Should the wise answer with windy knowledge and fill themselves with the east wind? Should they offer an unprofitable talk or in words with which they can do no good? For you are doing away with the fear of God and hindering the meditation before God. For your iniquity teaches your mouth, and you choose the tongue of the crafty. Your own mouth condemns you, and not I. Your own lips testify against you.
Amen. Again, we're talking about conquering hindrances to meditation. And meditation is hearing the Word of God and obeying the Word of God. But James challenges us to be doers of the Word and not just hearers.
Right.
And if we want to conquer the hindrances to meditation, we're going to have to get some new things going in this new year. First of all, we're going to have to get some new teaching.
Right.
And then we're going to have to get some new talking. And then we're going to have to get a new talk. If we want to conquer the hindrances of meditation, we want Christians to know tonight that you should overcome the hindrances to meditation.
All right.
Amen. Let's look at point number one. New teaching. It says here in the text, for your iniquities teaches your mouth. Your iniquities teaches your mouth. I had a friend who was supposed to be a Christian. And he would spend most of his hours away from work calling all of his spiritual Christian friends and talking about all of his troubles. And I couldn't help but to wonder that maybe if he would spend most of that time talking to God, maybe he wouldn't have so many troubles.
Well.
If he spent most of that time talking to God, maybe he would get to a point to where he may have the same problems, but he just wouldn't care because God manifests peace and joy and hope in his heart that it really wouldn't matter.
There you go.
On his word day and night as opposed to talking to other people, because we have to remember what God said, and also we got to remember what God wants us to do as a result of what he said. And many times the hindrances to meditation has to do with what's in our own heart. It says here, new teaching, it says, your iniquities teaches your mouth. Your iniquity teaches your mouth, which is directly opposite of what we learned about Sunday, where Job 1:8 says, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. See, God wants us to meditate on his word, to listen to what he said, because he wants us to do what he says.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died, God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. And if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family. Because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you.
You must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. And this praise is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God. I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, 100, and you may be able to do more, whatever God is laying on your heart. We need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com.